Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Bay Lake Town,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to my
Hello and welcome to the DVC Newscast. This is episode 164 and I'm Peter, and joining me again this week is Sue. Welcome, Sue.
Hi, Peter. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since we recorded. I was off in Europe, mostly Paris and London, but I did go to Disneyland Paris.
Ah.
So I'm going to give a little bit of a mini review here at the end, I think.
Awesome.
But we'll save that for the end. For those that aren't interested in that, just want to get to the news, we'll get to the news first. Before we do that, though, let's thank our sponsor from the world of DVC, and that is the DVC Rental Store. If you are new to DVC and you want to try it out, one of the best ways to do it is to rent points for a stay and check out how it's not exactly the same as a hotel. You got to book it well in advance. You don't get maid service as frequently as you do necessarily with a hotel. A few minor differences like that. So it might be something you want to check out first. Check out the DVC Rental Store. You can rent points there. You can rent already reserved rooms. They have a ton of them there. And it's a great way to try out DVC. Or if you've run out of points, that's another thing you can do, is if you want to take that extra trip and you don't have enough points for it, check out the DVC Rental Store. And as well, if you are one of those rare people that has extra points that you don't know what to do with, I admit it has happened occasionally to me, but yeah, it's pretty rare, right?
Yep.
You can also rent out your points there too. So check them out, dvcrentalstore.com. And with that, we're going to get into our stories, and we finally got some news about Test Track reopening, Sue.
Yeah, Test Track 3.0. We've got the opening date. Disney has announced that Test Track 3.0 will be opening on July 22nd. The newest update of this ride will also have previews for cast members starting in late June. And in addition, it's been announced that further preview dates will be provided to Club 33, Golden Oaks, DVC members, and annual pass members. The exact dates have not yet been announced, but availability is expected to be very limited. With the DVC members, you must be staying on property. You must have a reservation in order to qualify for one of the openings. I know that speaking with one of the cast members, apparently those dates are already booked and out. So as soon
really?
As they, yeah. So as soon as they announce the DVC members, if you're going to be here at that time, jump on it right away because it's very, very limited. But looking forward to it.
Usually when they do that, it's like 2 to 4 days total.
Right. And a few hours here and there.
It's not a lot. And it's not like all day either. Right.
Correct.
It's like, it might be like a 4 hour or 6 hour window or something. They're just trying to work the kinks out. And this gives them an opportunity to run the ride with actual people participating. Are you going to try to sign up? Probably not as a DVC member, but as an annual pass holder, I know.
No. I'm going to wait until after it opens for real. Because my feeling is it's hard to get there during those certain hours,
right?
And predict when that's going to be. So I'd rather just say, fine, I'm going to go and see Test Track. It's going to open up on the 22nd, so anytime thereafter.
Like, I'm glad it's reopening for sure. I'm curious what it's going to be like, but it's Test Track. So
right.
It's not like it's going to be some revolutionary new ride. It may seem very different for those that had ridden the first version and the second version.
Yeah.
It was very different in look, but it was mostly the same ride.
Right. Yeah. It was. But it'll be neat to see some of the homage that they pay to World of Motion that was the original.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they're going to do it. Because, especially if they had, the ABS brake test, right, area.
Yep.
And it's like, are they still going to do that? Because that made more sense in the original version than it made in the second version. And then now with this, is it going to make any sense at all? I don't know. So The other thing I've heard is that they've taken out the interactive part, if you want to call it that, where you build your car at the beginning.
Yeah.
I personally don't really care. I know that was very popular with kids, for sure, to make those cars, but the way it actually interacted with the ride wasn't that great to begin with. And then the last few years, it like didn't work about half the time. You'd like load your car and then it wouldn't even be there.
Right. But it's exciting because it's a good attraction. It really is. I like the track. I think
for sure.
It's a good attraction and you get a different experience at night than during the day. Once it opens up, but I think I'm going to hold off more towards the end of August, beginning of September when it's not as crowded and it's not as hot.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to in October when we go, but yeah, it's not, it's mostly good because that's a park that doesn't have a lot of, what do you call them? You know, e-tickets.
Yep.
And at least they had already opened Remy and Guardians. So now there's a few more there.
Right.
Before those two rides, you had like three e-tickets in the whole park. Now, at least there's a few more, but it'll be good for it to be back up.
Oh yeah.
And then another thing we have to mention is that in nearby Beach Club, Stormalong Bay reopened. And that was closed since January, I believe. Yeah. And after 6 months closure, the massive Beach Club pool known as Stormalong Bay reopened on June 17th. No prior announcement was made to guests before reopening, which is a bit surprising since cast members had to be assigned to the lifeguard service. Mm-hmm. And they have a big staff of lifeguards, obviously, at that pool. But as it was announced in our last episode, there's still a lot of refurbishment work going on around that property. But if you have an upcoming reservation, Stormalong Bay will be back open. And I have to say, like 50% of the reason for staying at Beach Club is Stormalong Bay.
Sure, it is. I mean, where else can you go and have a sandy bottom pool?
Oh, yeah. It's the only Disney hotel that has a lazy river. It's got that... We never stayed there when our daughter was small enough, but it's got that little beach area for the toddlers that I always thought was just awesome to have, that you can, if you have some older kids and some little kids, you can be there with the little kids while the other ones play in the main pool area. Yeah, it's great. It's the top pool at Disney. There's not even a question, right?
Yeah, it's a 3-acre pool. So you can't get anything bigger than that.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, Disney also announced a new entrance to the Polynesian Resort. So from May through 2026, some areas of the Polynesian Villas Resort are being refurbished. This includes the reconfiguration of the front entrance roadway and bus area. This is combined with current roadway improvements around the resort. I was just past there the other day and a lot of construction going on.
Yeah.
Even the road out in front, they're doing a lot of construction to ease the traffic that generally goes past the Magic Kingdom and past the entrance to the Polynesian over to the Grand Floridian or back onto World Drive. Going to be a little hectic for a while, but I think it's going to be great seeing some of the artwork as far as what it might look like. It looks like it's going to be pretty nice. It'll fit in very well.
Yeah. Do you think they'll recombine? Because the Island Tower has a separate entrance, right?
Correct.
Do you think they'll recombine it into a single entrance and make everybody come through the main longhouse? Or do you think they'll still keep it?
I'll keep it. I think they'll keep it separate.
Yeah.
That this way, because otherwise the DVC guests who are going to be staying over at the tower would have a longer trip to go in, and then you're behind the traffic of people trying to get into the Poly itself. So this way, if you have a reservation at the Poly Tower, you go into that entrance and they can check you off and get you in there faster. Because there's a lot of people who go in through the main entrance because they have dinner reservations or lunch reservations, or they hope that they can park there to go to the parks and are turned away. And so that traffic can really back up at that point.
Yeah, and I know all the construction there has taken up some of the parking, so it's harder to get a good spot there at all. I know they had to take over some of the public parking for the valet parking at one point recently. And we were there. I mean, we stayed there in April And it was a real mess around there.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they're trying to widen that road going back to, I'll say, call it the north exit.
Yep. Yep.
Of Disney property. I'm assuming like they're building a lot up there and a lot more people are coming in that way from a standpoint of like employees and things like that.
Right.
So
there's so much building on the north side, on the back end of Magic Kingdom. And there's huge, Horizon West is a huge area. And so a lot of people do work at Disney, or they have to get through Disney property right. in order to get to where they do work. So it is congested. Right now, it's just a 2-lane road.
Do you think they're going to be widening it to like a 4-lane?
I'd like to see that. When I was past there, it looked like they were doing some widening on it.
Yeah.
And you have to, because even people trying to get into Shades of Green, it's really tough, because with the traffic constantly coming, they're going to need a traffic light there. And allowing people to cross over, you have guests from Shades of Green who walk over towards the Poly to be able to get to the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I guess that makes a lot of sense, because, you know, from that close, it would make more sense to just walk over to the monorail than to take a bus or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like a major project. I think it'll be going on for a year or more, but it'll be interesting to see how it ends up. The one thing coming out of here for DVC members is to remember, if you're staying at the Island Tower, there is a separate entrance.
Yep.
When we went back in April, we went into the main entrance not knowing any different. And they were basically like, well, go turn here and go back out, go over there and go around. And it was like, oh, great. Plus all the traffic and everything. So.
Yeah, and know that there's going to be construction around that area for a while.
Our next story is about DVC and about DVC setting stronger wording against point rentals. DVC has added a requirement for members to indicate that they are not commercially renting their points, according to DVCnews.com. Effective June 1st, 2025, DVC updated the terms and conditions associated with making reservations using DVC points. Under the heading of General Terms and Conditions and Responsibility, members are asked to confirm that reservations made under your membership are solely for personal use and not for commercial purposes. Note that DVC themselves has indicated that they have no problem with members who rent out their points when they're not being used, but what they're really looking to do here is crack down on points that are used purely for business profit. There's people out there that might have a large number of contracts. Mm-hmm. They either like buy the contract, eat up the year or two of points and then resell it, or those will be harder to catch. But then they have people that are just like, all they're doing is booking the hard to get rooms. And so you have like out on these people that are doing it. And I'm not talking about the DVC rental store. DVC rental store, these companies are legitimate companies that are there to broker for members. I'm talking about people that are out there that are just trying to make money off their points, and they'll book the hard to get rooms. So things like Boardwalk Standard View, Animal Kingdom Value Rooms have become super hard to get because of a lot of these rental companies that are out there. And so, you know, hopefully it means that Disney can do something about it and not hurt the regular Pete and Sue that might rent out their points. Right. So we'll see how that goes. But for right now, it's just changed the terms and conditions. When you book, you're going to have to check a box saying, hey, I'm not doing this as part of a business.
Right. Right. And I've had some calls this week from some clients who are concerned, because occasionally they do rent out their points. They can't make it. And they said, you know, does that mean we can't do that any longer? And I said to them, no, you can. You can still do it. They're looking for people who repeatedly make reservations in other people's names, and they are never staying on property themselves.
Right.
So that's the tip off. Members are allowed to rent their points out. I've done that to family and friends. On occasion, if I have extra points, you know, there's been an occasion where I just had points and I couldn't do anything with them because I was not able to take a vacation for whatever reason. And it was nice to be able to put them out with the rental store and at least cover my dues.
I've done it too. the last contract I bought was, we knew it was probably more points than we would need some years, but we bought it at the time because we were worried about all the restrictions they were putting in place and wanted to buy it before they put more restrictions in place. So we have almost 400 points and we mostly stay in studios. Most years it's enough points. Right. Some years it's more than enough points. So, you know, we'll often rent out a portion of them. I can't say I've ever rented them all out, but I've rented 100 points or something like that on a year. You should be able to do that as a member.
Right.
You know, they really shouldn't give you trouble with that. The problem is whether, you know, the person that's just doing that gets caught up in this. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. Along with that, we have that Fort Wilderness Meadow Swimming Pool expansion is announced. Construction is about to begin on the main feature pool at Fort Wilderness. The additions will bring a new zero-entry pool to the area, as well as additional deck space. The remodeled recreation area will also include a tennis court and two pickleball courts. The existing feature pool will remain open during construction. I'm really looking forward to this. I was just at the cabins at Fort Wilderness on Sunday for an overnight. And the nice thing about the, I went over to the pool and it's a nice pool, but you do have to use the stairs to get in. And there were some little kids that was difficult for them. The pool is not that deep. It's three feet, 9 inches in the deepest spot. But the campground, it's a small pool. It was crowded. I mean, it was hot Sunday. It was crowded. There weren't a lot of open chairs out there. There's no shade other than with the umbrellas, some of the umbrellas. So it'll be nice to have a brand new pool there. And I saw the construction site and it's marked off a pretty good size area for the pool and the deck itself. So I think that's going to be a plus. I'm wondering if they're going to keep the other pool and use it kind of as a quiet pool, so to speak. They need it.
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they're going to build, because what I heard was the pool will like double in size.
Yep.
That's the one thing I can't figure out is, are they just building a second pool? So there's two pools?
Yeah.
Or is
it
there?
The area that they're clearing out looks like a second pool area.
They said that during construction, this pool will remain open.
Correct.
So I have to assume it's two pools, but are they going to like close the old pool or are we going to have two pools?
Right.
You know, is my question. I mean, I think having two pools is fine. There's plenty of resorts that do it. I think of the Grand Californian, and they actually have three pools
in their little,
they're not actually connected. So it's not unheard of to have. You know, you could have one pool that's more of a kid's pool and then one pool that, as you say, is more designed to be a quiet pool.
Right.
Now, the slide is in the current pool. So if you're going to make the other pool, because it's zero entry, more for kids, you'd have to move the slide over.
Right.
So
who
knows how they're going to do it. But yeah, I mean, I hate packed pools, bigger pools.
I'm all
for it.
Yeah, I know. This one was really packed. It was so hot on Sunday. And it was really, really packed. And there were a couple of families where the kids wanted to toss the football back and forth. So they're tossing it over people's heads. And it was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. And again, I love the cabins. They are so bright and airy and just beautiful. I could stay there for a whole week and not go to any theme park and just enjoy the campground.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to see this and can't wait to see when it's going to be done. But they've cleared the land. They've started to plot out and stake out the area. And I'll keep an eye on that.
Yep. So that's all we got for news. Several items, but nothing really huge. But I do want to mention Disneyland Paris.
Please went out there.
Yeah. We had 3 days of tickets with the pack. We did a package. The way the packages work there, it's like 2 nights and 3 days of tickets. But then we added a third night, which we had to move hotels because of without the package, the prices get a lot higher. Mm-hmm. The first day we came from Paris. One thing that's really nice is it's a very short train ride from Paris.
Right.
We left our hotel in Paris at around noon and we were at Disney with in less than an hour from when we left our hotel. It was very easy to get from downtown Paris to the Disneyland. And they changed the structure of the metro. Now it's only 250 in euros to, wow, to take that train to Disney. So it's really not expensive either. The parks are really lovely. There, some areas seemed a little bit worn to me, particularly areas in the Studios Park that to me needed some sprucing up. But overall, they were very nice parks. Though the one thing I'd say is a lot of rides that are very similar to, if you've been to Disneyland and Disney World, there's not a lot of uniqueness over there. Yes, like Pirates of the Caribbean is a little bit different. Their Haunted Mansion is called Phantom Manor. It's set in Frontierland. That's probably the most different ride. Their Hyperspace Mountain is different. So there are some differences, but a lot of the rides, we tried to ride everything. So it's, you know, Peter Pan is very similar. Mm-hmm. Big Thunder was closed, so it's just like the Florida one. Tower of Terror is identical to the California one pre the Guardians change. Yep. And I'm trying to think of the others. A lot of rides were very similar to Disney but they weren't better. They had a couple of unique rides, but most of those weren't all that great either. The best of that bunch was Crush's Coaster. I know you, Sue, had told me that we had to make sure to check that one out. And that one was a lot of fun. It kind of reminded me of Florida Space Mountain almost.
Yeah. Although it's different that you spin around.
Right. It's got the coaster actually like turns. It's not as spinning as Guardians.
Right.
Because Guardians makes me sick. I can't do it.
Right.
But so it wasn't as bad as that, but it was definitely
you were riding the wave.
Yeah, you're definitely riding the ride. So that ride was fun. Far and away to me, the best part was the nighttime castle show. Their castle is, I guess what surprised me about it, I mean, obviously it's a very fairy tale castle. It's not as big as Florida, which I was always under the impression it was, but it wasn't quite as big. It's certainly bigger than Sleeping Beauty Castle in California, but it isn't as big as the Florida castle, but they have fountains in front of it. So you have the projections, you have fireworks, you have fountains now. So there's an aspect that's kind of like Fantasmic,
right,
or maybe almost like World of Color in terms of that. And then in addition to that, they have drones that they use as part of their show now. And I'd never seen a drone show, and like incorporating that into it was just amazing. It was the nighttime show was spectacular. That was far and away the best thing we saw there. So if you were to go out there, make sure to stay late enough to see the nighttime show. The drones, we were told, actually, if it's windy, they can't run them. But luckily, the night we watched it, they had them. Otherwise, though, I mean, to me, the parks, they were nice, but it wasn't like, when I go out to California, it feels so different from Florida that like I want to go out to California every couple of years. This didn't feel that. I mean, it felt different, but it didn't feel like I needed to see it. And then the other aspect of it that I have to say as a negative is the hotels. We stayed at the Newport Bay Hotel, which is similar to like Beach Club in theme, but I want to call it a moderate more than I would say it's a moderate more than a deluxe, but like it was not up to par with what I think a moderate should be. The service wasn't very good. The food options, they just have like a buffet restaurant. That's your only option. There's like no food court or anything to get food. So you have to go to the parks to get food. We had several maintenance problems with our room. The room looked very shabby, like it needed a refurb.
Aww.
The people were nice enough, but like just getting things done, you know, I don't want to go into it, but it just was not a great hotel experience. It wasn't the experience at the level I expect from Disney, even for a moderate hotel. And then we moved for the last night, we moved over to the Santa Fe Hotel, which is Cars themed.
Yep.
And yes, the theming was nice, but like it made top century look like the Polynesian.
Oh, wow.
It was like staying at like a Red Roof Inn or something. Mm-hmm. It really was not, it was not very nice. It didn't help that there was no air conditioning and it was kind of a hot evening. Wow. At least Newport Bay had air conditioning. We went and it was kind of a warm streak in Newport, but that was one of the problems we had with Newport Bay is the air conditioning wasn't working and it took them a day to get around to fix it. The first night we were there, we had no air conditioning.
And
we got there at like 2 o'clock or something and we called several times and they didn't come. We were there as said, I'll call it 2.5 days. That was enough to see everything. We didn't ride everything. But we rode most things. We did use, I do like their fast pass system or whatever they call it. It's not Lightning Lane, but it's, I forget what it's called, but it's basically a la carte, which is what I'd wish they'd do in Florida. Every ride, you know, instead of having, you know, the multi Lightning Lane and then the individual Lightning Lane, it's basically imagine everything's individual Lightning Lane. And so what was nice about it was, and it wasn't so popular, so it was basically like you go to a ride and you're like, well, wait's kind of long, I'll book a you know, I'll buy the ticket for
it.
So we did that for, I did that for a few things that my wife and daughter wouldn't go on, like Hyperspace Mountain. They just wouldn't ride that, and the wait wasn't that long. There wasn't really bad waits when we were there. The worst was Crush's Coaster, I think was like 70 minutes. But most things were 30, 40 minute type waits. So it wasn't terrible, but we still used that a little bit to be like, oh, it's a 40 minute wait. We'll just buy this. And I spent a little bit of money that way, but not a ton.
Right.
I did like that as like, you just go the day of, when you're there, you pick the ride you want to pay for and you pay for it. Some rides were €5. Some rides were €12. It just depended on the popularity of the ride. Almost all of them were within a half hour of when you bought it.
Yep.
The only one that was a little longer was Crush's Coaster. We had to wait like an hour before we could ride it.
But that's not bad.
No, it was so much better than I really wish they'd do that in Florida. So overall, really liked the parks. 2.5 days was enough time. As I said, we didn't ride everything. Like we didn't ride Dumbo, you know, some things that are identical but aren't. You know, you don't have to. We didn't ride the carousel. We rode like Small World. We rode Peter Pan. We rode, they have Pinocchio, Snow White. So they have some of the dark rides. We rode pretty much everything in the 2.5 days. So it was more than enough time to see everything. You know, I would say maximum 3 days. And and that's with taking breaks and stuff. So if you go hardcore, you can definitely do it in 2 days. But three days was good. And I would almost, because of the train, I'm not even sure I would stay at the Disney. If I ever went back, I'm not sure I'd stay at their hotels. I was just very disappointed in them. Now, we didn't stay in the Disneyland hotel is basically in the park.
Right.
And then the other deluxe hotel is now the Marvel New York or something like that. So we didn't stay at the two deluxe hotels. The Marvel hotel was €500+ a night. And I think the Disneyland hotel was like €700 or €800. I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah.
But even like the Santa Fe, I mean, I got to say the Santa Fe hotel, clearly a value. That one night was €300. So it was $350 to stay at what I would consider not as nice as Pop Century.
Wow.
So it was, that was very disappointing, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get to by train. I would almost like stay somewhere not there and take the train in because the train literally drops you at the entrance to the park.
Yep.
And the hotels aren't at the entrance to the park.
Right.
So you actually have to go further from the hotels than you do from the train. So if you could find a someplace on the train line that didn't cost as much, that's probably what I would do next time is just stay somewhere else for a lot less money and, you know, just enjoy the parks more. The food was okay. After spending 5 days in Paris, it was definitely a step down from Paris. We didn't really find great food, but we only had one, you know, what you would call table service restaurant. We ate at Captain Jack's, which is similar to Blue Bayou. It's inside the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. That food was very good. That was a really good meal. The quick service food was okay. I think you can find better in Disneyland and Disney World, but it also might not have been. We didn't know the right places to go to either. Mm-hmm. A couple of the meals that I thought were very mediocre. One place we went to was pretty decent. As a Disney fan, I was so glad I did it, but it also didn't make me go, oh, I got to come back here again in 3 or 4 years. I kind of understand why, especially a lot of UK people are like, yeah, I'll just come to Florida.
Yep.
It definitely doesn't beat either Disneyland in California or Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
It's, as I said, lovely park. Cool. There's some cool stuff in it. It definitely has a different feel being in a foreign country. You're hearing so many languages spoken there. Very little English. Interestingly, I didn't see a lot of people from the UK, but a lot of Italians, a lot of Spanish, obviously a lot of French, a little bit of German. Heard a little bit of German, but not a lot. And then a little bit of English. In the parks, most people spoke English, though. Almost all the signs were in English. And the shows were kind of like 50-50.
Yeah, half and half. That's what I found.
The last thing I'll comment on before I go on too long, of the shows, far and away the best one was the Lion King show, which is, it's a little bit the Florida show, but a lot the musical, the actual musical. And it's very, very well done, probably better than Festival of the Lion King. And I love Festival of the Lion King. All the songs from the movie and all pretty much in English. So it's a better show in terms of the other shows were, like I said, kind of 50-50. So my wife and I speak a little bit of French, but my daughter doesn't. We had an easier time following it, that show, because they were just singing. There was no like dialogue really.
Right.
So it was all in English. That was a great show, not to be missed. That's my 2 cents.
Well, you can check it off your bucket list.
Yeah. So now we've been to 8 Disney parks. And that leaves what, 4? Until they open Dubai.
Yes. That one's I think that's going to be, technologically speaking, I think it's going to be off the charts. They are paying for it, and they demand they have very high expectations. So I am really thinking that that's going to be an amazing park.
I think we're going to see things there. Imagineering will take advantage of that to try out some new technology.
Right.
And they can kind of let them pay for the development of it. Yep. And then hopefully it comes to our parks too.
Yeah.
The rumor is the Avatar ride that's coming to Disneyland is basically the technology from Shanghai's Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, wow.
Which is supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Hopefully we get a little bit of technology from out of that eventually, but it's a few years off.
Yep, definitely.
So anything you want to add, Sue?
No. You went to Paris and I went to Fort Wilderness and we both got a little bit of a Disney fix.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, you just came back from the Caribbean, so you get around.
Yeah, but it was nice getting back on Disney property, and I still have to say that Fort Wilderness has the best fried chicken ever. Hoop-de-doo review, or if you go over to Crockett's Tavern, the Trail's End, you can get the fried chicken there, and it is, to me, the best fried chicken ever.
It's really good. It really is. We just went there when we were at the Poly. We went over to see the cabins and we ate lunch there. Yep. And I agree with you 100%.
So if you're out that way, remember, you can always take the boat over and have lunch.
Yep. So with that, we'll wrap it up. And we want to thank our 3 sponsors, the DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, and Monera Financial for their continued support of the MyDVC platform. And with that, we're going to all say, see you real soon, everybody.
See you real soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC. My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.